Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Pei Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Pei Vav at the Mishnah. While looking at the marked Mishnah, you notice diamonds around the word Shlosha. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've pointed out that this highlights Hoifas Hamila Shlosha Pamai B'Mishnah. The Gemara itself will ask about why the necessity of having the number twice in the Mishnah, when after all, you can simply count the items, and you'll notice that there are three items. The Mishnah discusses three kinds of gittin that are invalid, but if the woman receives such a get and she remarries with it, it's a legitimate marriage. In other words, these gittin on a Torah level are effective. On a rabbinic level, they're considered invalid. But if she in fact went ahead and got married and had a child, the child will be considered kosher, not a mamzer. The Mishnah, Shloisha Gittin Psulim. There are three kinds of gittin that we would describe as invalid. V'im nises, but if she uses that divorce in order to legitimatize her remarriage to someone else, Avlad Kosher, the child she has with that second husband is a legitimate child. What are the three kinds of gittin? Kosav Viksav Yodav Einol Ovedim. The husband wrote the get in his handwriting, and there are no witnesses that signed it. Yesh Olav Edim V'Ein Bozman, or a get that has witnesses that signed it, but there's no date in the get. Yesh bo zman, the ein bo elo eid echad, or it has a date in it, but it has only one witness that signed. Hare elu shlosha gitim psulim, v'im nisei savlad kosher. And you can see that the mission appears to be a bit repetitive in saying what it said at the opening. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Afal pi she'ein olav edim, elo shenosnoi lo bifnei edim kosher. Rabbi Lezer says, even if there are no witnesses that signed it, and Rashi adds, and the get was not written in the husband's handwriting, but the get was given to her in the presence of two witnesses, it's kosher for her to remarry, and Rashi adds, l'chatchila, as a first choice, it's a perfectly kosher divorce. The Geiva Minechose Mishuabodim. The woman, when she comes to collect her ksuba, money owed to her as a result of the divorce, she can collect from people that purchased properties from this man after their marriage. She'ein ha'edim chismen al haget elo b'nei tikun ha'olam. As far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned, that which witnesses sign on the get is only for public benefit. Namely, if the witnesses that saw the giving of the get died, they're called the Edei Mesira. If they died, and the husband should come and challenge her divorce, saying that he never divorced her, with the witnesses that signed on the document, he will be repelled. There's another Rashi that I would like to learn together with you on the Mishnah, and we're learning this Rashi basically as an introduction to the Gemara that will deal with the issue. The number three get that was described by the Tanakhama as get posel v'misis avlad kosher was a get that yesh bo zman v'ein bo alei echad. It has a date in it, and there's only one witness that signed it. So now we look at the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. Says the Rashi, Dibor Masr Elo Eid Echad Pligi Bo Ba Gemara. There's a disagreement in the Gemara. Iko Lamad Omar Aksav Yodo Koi. That the reference to the one witness is a reference to the opening of the Mishnah, where it's described a get that was written in the husband's handwriting, and at point three, it adds. It has a date in it, and it has one witness that signed on the get that he wrote, that the husband wrote. Afilu hachi ashminan delechatchila lo. And even though it's written in the husband's handwriting and there is one witness signing it, still lechatchila, as a first choice, she should not remarry with such a get. For Reisha Ashminan, the beginning of the mission that spoke about a get written in his handwriting and there are no witnesses on it, the mission informs us that afilu ein bo eid im niseis havlad kosher. Even if there are no witnesses, if she remarried with a get written in his handwriting, the child born from the remarriage is legitimate. Ve'ika l'man d'omar, there's another approach that says that this third section of the Mishnah that made reference to a get that has one witness that signed it, Aksav Sofer Koi. It's a get written by a scribe. Ve'afilu hachi avlad kosher, and even so, the child is kosher, that's born from the remarriage. The Sofer Havilei B'mokum Eid Sheni, the scribe, serves as a witness instead of a formal second witness. I think it goes without saying, everyone probably knows that ideally you need to have two witnesses. So according to this approach, the writing of the Sofer constitutes one of the two witnesses. The Mishnah then describes a singular witness signs onto that, so that would give you the ideal two witnesses. But even so, as Rashi says, she should not remarry with such a get as a first choice. We now turn to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Vesuleka, are there no other gittin that we can describe as gittin psulim but vim nesis of vlad kosher? So if you skim down the page, you'll notice a series of diamonds, a series of triangles, and they're featured on the side under the nosei / mivne heading. Let's read the note on the side in the margin. Sidro shel kushios, a series of questions. The lechori is yesem migimel dugmos hamavos b'mishnah. It seems initially that there are more than three examples than those brought in the Mishnah, shall gittin psulim l'chatchila v'avlad kosher, gittin that as a first choice we would say she should not remarry with it, but if she does, the child resulting from the remarriage is nevertheless kosher because we view her as divorced on a Torah level. So the Gemara, V'ho'ika get yoshan. Is there not the example of get yoshan? We're not going to get into a full description of get yoshan. We've discussed this extensively in the past, but very briefly, it's a get that a man gave to his wife, and afterwards he was in private with her. So a get like that, nevertheless, if she received the get, she can remarry with it. So the Gemara says, Hasam lo teitse. Hacha teitse. Over there, we say that if she remarried with it, she is not expected to leave the second husband. Here, in the examples of the Mishnah, if she remarried with it, we would tell her, leave the second husband. Well, ha nicho lemadamar hacha teitse. That's fine if you accept the opinion, which is really the subject of controversy. Rav and Levi on Omid Beis argue about this. So if you accept the opinion that says, regarding our Mishnah, teitse, so then you have a distinction. But according to that Amoraic opinion that says that with regard to the Gittin in our Mishnah, she doesn't, if she remarries with it, she's not expected to leave the second husband. Well, then that's the same as the Get Yoshan. So why does the Mishnah enumerate only three when it could have added the example of Get Yoshan? The Gemara answers, there still is a distinction. Hasam tinose lechatchila, hacha di eved. With regard to the Get Yoshan, when the Mishnah says a woman who receives a Get Yoshan, she can use it to remarry, that means she can use it to remarry as a first choice. And that's not the case with regard to the examples of our Mishnah, that even though we'll tell her she doesn't have to leave the second husband, we would not say that she should initially take advantage of this get and remarry. She should seek a new, more efficient, better get than what we described above. Question: Vayikra get kereach. Once again, a topic that we spent a long time discussing in the past. The get kereach is just very briefly, it's a reference to that type of get that we write up for kohanim, where we sew it after writing a couple lines, it's sewn, and the adim sign on the reverse side. If the folds in the get are more numerous than the number of witnesses that signed on the reverse side, that's called a get kereach. So is that not an example of a get that's a puzzle? So the Gemara says, Hasam Havlad Mamzer, in that case, if she remarries after having received a get kereach, the child is viewed as illegitimate. Hacha Vlad Kosher, here in our Mishnah, if she remarries with it and has a child, the child is kosher. Well, Hanicha le Rebbe Meir. This distinction is fine if you accept Rebbe Meir's approach to the get kereach, whereby Rebbe Meir rules that a remarriage based on a get kereach results in the child being a mamzer. Elo le Rabbonon, mai ikar le Meimar. According to the Rabbonon, a woman who receives a get kereach and remarries and has a child, the child is kosher. So there's no distinction between that and our mission. So according to the Rabbanan, why isn't get kereach added? Hasam teitse. In the case of a woman who remarried with a get kereach, we tell her she should leave that second husband. Hacha lo teitse. But with regard to the gittin featured in our Mishnah, and she remarries with it, she is not expected to leave the second husband. Ha nicha. Well, you can accept that distinction. L'madam or hacha lo teitse. That we mentioned before, the machlokas between Rav and Levi, if you accept the position that says here, if she remarries, she doesn't leave, so then there's a distinction between our kind of the get posel in our Mishnah versus the get kereach. But according to the Amoraic opinion here that says when she remarries with one of our Gittim Psulim featured in Mishnah, she's supposed to leave the second husband. So what's the difference between what our Mishnah teaches and the case of the Get Kereach? Why was the Get Kereach not included? Why does the Mishnah say there are only three Gittin that conform to these standards? The Gemara answers, B'mekusha lo kamairi. Our Mishnah is not interested in dealing with the get that's sewn closed, sewn after writing a line or two, folding it and sewing it closed, as is the case with regard to a get kereach. So we'll call that's an unusual type of get, and hence it doesn't fit into the scheme or the plan of our Mishnah. Question, Va'ikal Shalom Malchus. Is there not the problem of misdating the document, basing it on a government that's other than the one in which you live? Again, Shalom Ach is a topic that we discussed extensively in previous Shiurim, so we're just going to mention it by way of its title. But it has to do with what we call a misdating of the get. So isn't that an example that could have been added to our Mishnah? I think my answer is no. There's a distinction. Hasam teitzei, hachalo teitzei. A woman who remarries with an improperly dated shtar vis-a-vis Shalom Malchus, she is expected to leave the second husband. Hachalo teitzei. With regard to the examples of our Mishnah, she doesn't have to leave the second husband. So there's a reason for not including the misdated Shalom Malchus type get in our Mishnah. Well, ha nicha lemadam hachalo teitzei. That's fine if you say with regard to our Mishnah, the woman is not expected to leave the second husband. Lemadam teitzei my ikol meimar. But according to the opinion regarding our Mishnah that she's expected to leave the second husband, what's the difference between the cases of our Mishnah and the issue of shalom malchus? The Gemara answers, moikim law. Kiderebi Meir, the Hasam Havlad Mamzer. That particular Manda Omar that says in our Mishnah Teitzei will tell you that the Mishnah regarding Shalom Malchus is in accordance with Rebbe Meir, and a woman who remarries with an improperly dated get and has a child, the resultant child is a Mamzer. Hacha Havlad Kosher. Here, the woman who has a child with the second husband, even if you say that she should leave him, nevertheless the child is kosher. And now the use of the diamonds in the Mishnah will come to fruition. Minyona deresha lemute mai, uminyona deseifa lemute mai. The number, when a Mishnah lists a number, it's basically saying this number of things yes and something else no. So that something is being excluded by the fact that a number appears. But in our Mishnah, the number appears twice. So we want to know, what does the number in the Resha come to exclude, and what does the number in the Seifa come to exclude? The Seifa being the latter part of the Mishnah. Minyona de Resha lemute hani dalmoron. The number in our Mishnah comes to say these three gittin are posel, and if she remarries, the vlad is kosher, to the exclusion of the topics raised in the triangles above. We mentioned get yoshen, get kereach, shalom machus. The Rashi you'll find three lines from the bottom, hani damoran vashminan. And we're informing you, Demasnisin, Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The Omar Hosam of Vlad Mamzer, that said over there by Sholem Malchus that the Vlad was a Mamzer. Our Mishnah, being authored by Rabbi Meir, is saying that I, Rabbi Meir, hold in these cases the Vlad that results with the second husband won't be a Mamzer. So that's what we mean, that the Mishnah comes to exclude the cases we mentioned above. We saw specifically, and we see the difference being that in the cases mentioned above, if she remarries, so the Vlad that results would be a Mamzer. In the cases of our Mishnah, the invalid Gittin of our Mishnah, if she remarries, the resultant child would not be a Mamzer. Hence, we're excluding those other cases. We continue. What about the number in the Seifa? Minyana de Seifa Limute. The number in the Seifa comes to exclude Ha de Sanya. That which is taught in the following source. Hamevi get midenseyam, an agent brought a get from overseas. Oz nosnu la velo omar befonei nech lefonei nechtam. He gave the get to the woman and didn't make the announcement that's expected of an agent who brings a get from overseas to say that the get was written in front of me and signed in front of me. Yoitzi Vavlad Mamzer, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says if she remarries with such a get without the agent having made the agent's announcement, remarriage is illegitimate, and a child that results from that will be a mamzer. She's considered still married. V'chomim omrim ein havlad mamzer. No, the resultant child is not a mamzer. Ketzad yaseh. So what should be done? Yitlenu heimeno v'yaseh v'yitnenu lo b'fnei shnayim. The agent should take it from her, give it back to her, and say in the presence of two witnesses, v'yomar, he says, v'fonai nechta v'fonai nechtam. Let's take a look at Rashi, the second line from the bottom. We mentioned that the number in the Sefer, the three, Gittin Psulim, Vimnesa Vlad Kosher, is the Mute, what we saw in this Tanaic source. The Hocha Havlad Mamzer Karebi Meir, in the case of a get given without the agent saying Befonim Fonim Nechtam, and she remarries based on such a get, having received a get without the Shliach's announcement, the resultant child would be a Mamzer. Vashminun Masnisen, the Braisa Mitarksosahi. The Mishnah is telling us that this Braisa is Mitarksosa, is reliable. The Afilu Ki Hayavno Mashe or Bimeir Mamzeri. Namely, even in such a case where the Shliach didn't make the Shliach announcement, the resultant child from a remarriage on her part would be a Mamzer. So that by our Mishnah stating in the Sefer 3 and excluding that which Rabbi Meir teaches in this Brisa, we're saying that this Brisa is accurate as it is, and as far as we are concerned, in our Mishnah, the remarriage would not result in a Mamzer, but with regard to an agent that doesn't recite the Befonei Nechtam, Befonei Nechtam announcement that an agent is expected to say, and the reasons for that we saw at the very beginning of the Masechta, either it establishes the get as having been written lishma, or it's basically a form of verification of the signatures. Either way, Rabbi Meir says that in that case, the resultant child from a remarriage would be a mamzer. The first of the three examples in our Mishnah was a husband wrote a get in his handwriting, and there are no witnesses that signed it. Let us glance at the side and read the Nosei / Mivne heading. You can see the house shape is featured. Machlokes Rav Shmuel. In the Gemara, we'll highlight Rav and Shmuel with the house marking. They disagree. Im ksav sofer yochol lehitztaref li'ed echod yos kosher lechatchila. Can a get written by a scribe join up with one witness that signs the get? So you'll have a get written by a scribe, by a sofer, and one witness signing it. Would we say then that the woman could remarry with that as a first choice, l'chatchila? A double underline marking will appear, highlighting the expressions ilem or elah and then elah. These are shlavim bebirur hasheila. These are stages in clarifying the question, ahei koi divrei rav dekomar ksav yodoi shaninu. Rav opens up the discussion with a statement, Ksav Yodo Shaninu, and we want to know what is Rav referring to. So now we turn to the Gemara. Having quoted the Mishnah, Kosav B'Ksav Yodoi V'Ein Olov Edim, we saw in the Mishnah this was the first of the three Gittin Psulim referred to. Omar Rav, Ksav Yodo Shaninu. Our Mishnah teaches a get written in the husband's handwriting. Ahei, Rav's comment is referring to what? Ilemo, a resha. If you think it's referring to the resha, where there are no witnesses that signed on, and the Mishnah teaches that if the get is written in the husband's handwriting, it's considered get posul midorabonon. But the child that results will be kosher. Well, pshinta ksav yodo kotoni. I don't need Rav to make reference to the ratio. That's what the ratio already says. V'yelo ametziosa. Maybe Rav is referring to the second case in the Mishnah, which featured a get that has two witnesses that signed it, but it lacks a date. And then Rav is insisting that it would have to be a get written in the husband's handwriting. Yeah, but Harei Yeshalov Edim. And as Rashi points out, once it has witnesses on it, and its only deficiency is because of time, it doesn't have a date in it, what difference does it make whether it's written by the husband or written by a scribe? There are two witnesses that signed on in that case. And two witnesses are a very strong method of verifying the authenticity of the document, and the emphasis is placed on the lack of time in it. So the one who wrote it becomes a secondary factor with regard to the mitziosa, the middle case of the Mishnah. Elo asefa, yesh bo zman v'ein boi elo ein echad. A get that has a date in it, and it has one witness that signed it. And we continue on to Amud Beis. V'davka ksav yodoi v'eid, avo ksav sofer v'eid loy. That which the Mishnah teaches, that the resultant child from a remarriage will be kosher, Rav is telling us is only in the case that the get was written by the husband and you have the singular aid. However, if the get with its singular aid on it, the singular witness was written by a scribe, then we would not say that the child is kosher. Let's take a look at the Rashi on the top. V'davka ksav yodoi v'eid, hu d'yamina v'lad kosher. Only if it's written in the husband's handwriting and you have the singular witness that signed, will we regard the get as a kosher get on a Torah level. Hence, the child born from the remarriage is kosher and not a mamzer. V'chitei maho me'resho shaminon law. You would ask that maybe we learned this already from the beginning of the Mishnah. Dafilu below shum aid havlad kosher. The Mishnah said kosav b'ksav yodo. Without any witnesses, the child is kosher. So, what do I need this for? Ilav seifa. If I didn't have the seifa with Rav's explanation, have amino hechodiko aid echod im ksav yodo tinose lechatchila. I would have thought that where you have one witness and the husband's handwriting of the get, she could marry as a first choice. So it's important to teach the resha and the seifa so as to preclude that possibility. The remarriage is only post facto, not as a first choice in these cases. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ushmuel Omar afilu ksav sofer v'eid. Even a get that's written by a scribe, and you have one witness that signed it, Sharei Shoninu, we have a Mishnah that teaches Ksav Sofer V'Eid Kosher. So Shmuel is going further than Rav and saying that the case of the Mishnah isn't limited to where the husband writes the get, but even if the scribe wrote the get and you have one witness, the child resulting from the remarriage will be kosher. So you can see that Rav and Shmuel disagree on that point of a get written by a scribe with one witness in it. The Rav's response to that, midomi. How can you compare the Mishnah there with our case? Hosam tinose lechatchila. I would say that the main ikur chosam and asefer, the main words are missing from the text, not in terms of an incomplete text, but by way of explanation. And Rashi fills in the details. So we look at Rashi together on the first narrow line, v'rav omaloch mi dummy. How can you compare our Mishnah to the Mishnah that Shmuel just cited? Hosam kosher, it said there, ksav sofer v'yed kosher, kosher lechabchilo mashma, indicating that she can remarry as a first choice, not just post facto. The hosam chasam sofer im ha'ed shoninu, because that Mishnah is really a reference to the scribe signing along with a single, along with another witness. So you have two witnesses that signed the shtar. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, come on, as Rabbi Yirmiyahu explains that later on. So, as far as Rav is concerned, the Mishnah later that speaks about Ksav Sofer V'Eid is really describing a get that has two witnesses that signed it. Our Mishnah is a get that has only one witness that signed it, and in order for it to be to the child to be kosher, Rav tells us that the get would have to be written by the husband. Hence, Rav says that over there, tinose lechatchila, she can remarry as a first option. Haha, dievet. In our Mishnah, where you only have one witness that signed, and the husband wrote it, her remarriage is something only post facto. We don't say that as a first choice she should go and remarry, but rather should get an upgraded get. Ushmuel. Now, according to Shmuel, our Mishnah and the Mishnah there that he was just cited are both validating a get written by the Sofer. So what do I need two Mishnayos to tell me the same thing? Ushmuel says lo kashya. There isn't redundancy. Ha besafra de muvok, v'ha besafra de lo muvok. I should actually point out that as far as Shmuel is concerned, there would seem to be actually a problem. Because as far as Shmuel is concerned, when our Mishnah makes reference to Kosa B'Ksav Yodo, Shmuel is saying even if the Sofer wrote it and you have one witness. However, according to our Mishnah, it's kosher only B'dievet. The Mishnah later on says, if it's written by the Sofer and one witness signs it, kosher lechatchila. So regarding that, Shmuel says lo kashya. There isn't any discrepancy. Ha besafra de muvok, ha besafra de lo muvok. If it's an expert, muvok means an expert scribe, then we say the woman can remarry lechatchila, because an expert scribe would certainly not have written the get unless he heard directly from the husband instructions to write it up. So we're quite confident that this is a get written with the husband's instructions. If you're dealing with a safra, a scribe that's not expert, so we say, okay, the woman can remarry, but not as a first choice. V'chein Omar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan approaches this topic like Rav. Namely, that when the Mishnah speaks about Kosa B'Ksav Yodo, it means specifically the husband wrote it, not the scribe. Omar Lei Rebbe Lozer, Hare Yeshalav Edim. Rebbe Lozer thinks that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you need to have the husband's handwriting as a comment on the middle section of our Mishnah, case 2. So to that, Rebbe Lozer reacts, what difference does it make in case 2 whether the husband wrote it or the scribe wrote it? There are two witnesses on the shtar, on the get, anyway. Omar le asefa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, my comment of kosav was Ksav Yodo is on the Seifa of the Mishnah, where there's only one witness. And for the get to be effective enough to prevent the child born from the remarriage from becoming a mamzer, in addition to the one witness that signed it, you'd have to have the get written by the husband. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new train of thought. On the side of the Gemara de Nosei slash Mivneh heading, you can see that we've written, we feature a diamond. These diamonds highlight, you'll see later, Levi's name as well. So you have Rav here, and on the fifth wide line in the middle, you have Levi's name. These are Deos, Bedin, Isha, Shinosa, Odom, Sheni, Ayideh, Echad, Me'agitim, B'mishnah. A woman who, in fact, remarried based on one of the gittin described in our Mishnah. Im tzricha lotzeis mimenu alo, does she have to leave the second husband or not? We made reference to this machlokas in the Gemara back on Amud Aleph. So now, the Gemara. Zimnin omarav teitze, zimnin omarav lo teitze. On some occasions, Rav said that a woman who remarries with one of these three gittin featured in the Mishnah, she has to leave her second husband. And on other occasions, Rav said she doesn't have to leave. Hawkate said, how do you resolve Rav's duality? Yesh lo bonim lo teitze. If she has children from the second husband, before she knew that before it became known that she remarried with this get, so then we won't insist on her leaving the second husband, because if we were to do that, it would then cast aspersions on the children, giving room to think that they're mamzerim. Why are we forcing her to leave the second husband if she must be still married to the first one? And children that she would produce as a married woman with another man, namely married to one man while having children with a second husband while still married to the first man, would result in mamzerus. So we don't want to promote that thinking. So that's true only if she has children with the second husband. Ein lo bonim, if she remarried and we discovered that she remarried with one of these gittin and she hasn't had children yet with the second husband, we tell her to leave the second husband. Mosiv Marzutra Bartuvia. Marzutra raises an objection to what Rav taught. The source from which he raises his question requires some background before we can really go further. It opens up with the words V'kulon shehoyu bohen sofei kiddushin o sofei gerushin. V'kulon, all of them. This is a reference to what you find at the very beginning of Maseches Yevomis. 15 different kinds of forbidden women, if you will, if they are married and they have a co-wife in their marriage, upon the death of their husband, there will be no mitzvah yibum. If you learned Yevomis, so what I just said is quite clear. If not, so then we take a look at Rashi in order to get into the topic. Rashi is just a couple lines down from here. V'kulon Chomesh Esrei Arayis She'omru She'poitru Sorosein Machalitza. Let's use an example. One example, not 15 examples. One of the 15 to illustrate the point. Notice we have a little note with a double star. We indicate Dugma as an example. We've written Shimon Nosa V'Giresh. We're looking at the note in our margin. Shimon Nosa V'Giresh B'Sof V'Gerushin Bito Shel Ruvain. Shimon married his niece. And Shimon happened to have another wife, a co-wife. Upon Shimon's death, if he had no children, Ruvain is confronted as a surviving brother with two widows. One of the two is his daughter. So the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Yevomis tells us that there is no mitzvahs yibum. Certainly not with his own daughter. His father is not going to marry his daughter. And not even with his daughter's co-wife. We continue in the Rashi. This kind of situation, as we just described, the co-wife is exempt from Yibum and from Chalitza. There's not even any need for the shoe removal ceremony. Im hoyu bohen lebaleim ames kidushei sofek oy shegorshon lifnei mosa gihushei sofek. Let's say that Shimon, prior to his death, had either married the erva. The erva is the forbidden woman. When we said forbidden woman before, we were speaking in a very abbreviated form, but forbidden meaning to the surviving brother. Let us say her marriage to Shimon, or Shimon had divorced her, but either way, under suffolk circumstances, doubtful circumstances, Nimseis Tsorasa, the co-wife then, suffolk shehi tsoras ervu futura, suffolk shehi tsoras ervu zkukuliyavam. How would you describe the co-wife? In our diagram, we call her the Isha Shnia. How would you describe her if, let us say, Shimon had divorced the daughter of Reuven? If Shimon had actually divorced her in no uncertain terms, and then Shimon died, so the co-wife would be a Yavama, because at the point of Shimon's death, the forbidden woman isn't around. She's been divorced. However, if you say that the divorce was a suffolk gerushin, so then the co-wife is in a position where she is a doubtful zukuka liyavam. Maybe she is bound to the yibum, maybe not. So now we go back to our source and read from the beginning. V'kulon shehoyu bohen sofei kiddushin o sofei gerushin. All of the ervos, in our simple example, the Bas Reuven, if she was either sofek married, the initial marriage was a sofek, or she'd been definitely married but sofek divorced, the co-wives, hare'elu chosos v'lo misyabmos, the co-wives will do chalit, so they'll participate in the shoe removal ceremony. Maybe they are individual wives. They're the only wives at the point of Shimon's death, because the erva was actually divorced. Maybe not. So what are we going to do with the co-wife? Is she bound to the surviving brother? Maybe yes, maybe no. So the ruling is, do chalitza. She removes Reuven's shoe and the rest of the ceremony, and she thereby becomes free to marry. But she will not be allowed to do evil. We won't allow her to marry Reuven. If she marries Reuven and she happens to be the co-wife of Reuven's daughter, because Reuven's daughter really was never divorced, so then Reuven is marrying a woman in sin. The co-wife of an erva is forbidden. She's called Be'isur Eishes Ach. Ketzad, we continue in the source, Ketzad Sofei Kiddushin. What is an example of Sofei Kiddushin where Shimon's initial marriage to Reuven's daughter was in doubt? Zorak Lo Kiddushin. He threw in her direction money with which to marry her. Sofek Korov Lo, Sofek Korov Lo. And there's a doubt whether the money landed closer to her or it remained closer to him. If it remained closer to him, so then we can't view it as if she received the money and she would not be married. But if it went closer to her, she would then, yes, be married. Zeu Sofek Kiddushin. That's an example of a doubt concerning the initial marriage. Sofek Gerushin. And these cases will sound quite familiar. And this is the reason that we're bringing in this source. Kosav Biksav Yodoi V'ein Olav Edim. It was written by the husband and there are no witnesses on the get. Yesh Olav Edim V'ein Bozman. There are witnesses but there's no date. Yesh Bozman V'ein Bo Elo Eid Echad. There is a date but it has only one witness that signed it. Hare Ze Sofek Gerishin. So our Mishnah's cases are featured in this source. And now we come to the question. V'i amris lo teitze. If you're going to say that in the case of a woman that received one of these gittin, is not expected, is not required to leave the second husband, what impression does that create? Let's go over the situation again. The Bas Reuven was the recipient of a Sofek Gerishin. Shimon divorced the Erva. If you're going to rule, like we saw in Rav's presentation, that Erva does not have to leave the second husband, if she married using one of the gittin of our Mishnah, if that erva used one of the gittin of our Mishnah, she doesn't have to leave the second husband. That's going to create the impression that she's fully divorced. If she was fully divorced before Shimon's death, tsarasa asya libumi, the co-wife, having been left as the souls, S-O-L-E, the singular, the sole wife of Shimon at the point of his death, she's then a Yavama. She's not exempted by the presence of a co-wife, of an Erva co-wife. So the result will be Tsorosa Asya Levumi. The co-wife, we call the Isha Shni, is going to come to marry Reuven. And we indicated before that if the divorce was really never a full-fledged divorce, then the marriage between the co-wife and the surviving brother is a forbidden relationship. The Gemara responds, Tisyabe ve'ein bekach klum. Chashosha de Rabbonan hi. You know what? Let the co-wife marry Reuven, the surviving brother, if she comes to do so, meaning we don't want her to do that as a first choice, but if she comes to do so, it really doesn't matter. It's not a problem. Because when we spoke about these gittin as being deficient, that's only on a rabbinic level. Chashosha de Rabbonan hi. It's only a rabbinic deficiency. On a Torah level, the gittin that we described are effective an effective means of divorce, so that the co-wife that remained upon Shimon's death as a single wife, as a sole wife, she is in fact eligible for Yibum. The Rashi, Mishaninon Tisyame Ben Bachlum, we're looking at Rashi about halfway down, a little more than halfway down the Rashi column. Klomar Iosi Vuma, if she comes to do Yibum, Lo Ichbas Lon Kulehai, we're not so concerned in Nigzor Ha Otu Ha, that we should move in and restrict that and void that Yibum in anticipation of something else. The cave on the kosher midoraisa, since the get is kosher on a Torah level, chashosha derabbanan bi'almohi v'lav tzoras ervohi. It's not a real case of tzoras ervo. So that I'm not going to, as Rashi says, we're not so concerned that we're going to make a gzeir of ha or tu ha. preventing Yibum in this case, in anticipation of a case where the erva was never divorced, so that there is no real question from the source on Rav. Levi Omar li'olam lo teitzei. Even if she has children, even if she doesn't have children with the second husband, Levi says that if she remarried using one of the gittin featured in the Mishnah, she doesn't leave the second husband. V'chein omar Rabbi Yochanan li'olam lo teitzei. Rabbi Yochanan rules likewise. V'chein omar lu Rabbi Yochanan livnei Rav Chalafta demin huna. Hachi amar avuchon li'olam lo teitzei. Rabbi Yochanan tells the children of Rav Chalafta, he tells them 2 points of law. One is our topic, lo teitzei. The second point is not related, but it's another point of law that Rabbi Yochanan happened to hear from their father, from Rabbi Chalafta. And he told them a law concerning Mei Chatos. Mei Chatos is the Pora Aduma water. Pora Aduma water, that's water drawn from a live spring mixed with the ash of the Pora Aduma, used for being metahir people, to cleansing or purify people that were defiled to the dead. That water must remain unused, certainly not used for other things. And even if, let us say, a creature had drunk from the water and dribbled water back into it, that would render it unfit. With regard to creatures drinking from the Mei Pora Aduma, there are certain exceptions. And he goes on to say, for Kartzis Shib Omir, that's a creature. Kartzis Shib Omir, Eino Poiselis B'mei Chatos. If it drinks from the Mei Chatos, it doesn't render it unfit. As far as why is that, we'll gain more insight into that as we go along in the Gemara. My Kartzis, Omer Abaye, Didvisa de Beni Kifi. It's better known as a Didvisa. Rashi explains Didvisa Zvuv. Zvuv is ordinarily translated as a fly. Rashi says it's a very large fly. It's as big as a type of locust. And it's found amongst the sheaves of grain. So that creature that we call the Kartzis or Didvisa de Beni Omer is not going to render the Mei Chatos, if it drinks from it, unfit. Mosiv Rav Daniel Barav Katina. Rav Daniel asks on this leniency. It says as follows in a Tanaic source: Kol ha'oifos poislin b'mei chatos chutz min hayoina b'nei shemoitzetzes. All birds or flying creatures will render the Mei Chatos invalid, with the exception of the yoina. It's often translated as a dove, because its style of drinking is such that it's motzetzes, it sucks up, and it doesn't dribble back into the water any of the water. So it's a very clear one-directional form of drinking, and hence that it withdraws from the water without any return to the water. Ve'im Esau, if it's true, like Rabbi Yochanan reports, that the Kartzis doesn't render it unfit, Nisni, then the source should have said, Chutz miyoina v'kartzis, should have added Kartzis as an example of something that doesn't render the water unfit. As an additional example of something that does not ruin the water. The Gemara answers lopsikole. It could not be taught with the same unqualified statement as the yona. Why? The gedola lopasla, the adult kartzis, doesn't invalidate the water. Uktana pasla, but the young version of the kartzis will render it unfit. Therefore, since it would have had to be qualified, the source didn't bother mentioning it. The ad kama, up to what point is it called a ktana and poselis? Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Vitei Marvami, ad kezias, up till an olive size. Once it grows larger than an olive size, it's called a gedola, and it will not render the water unfit. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Af, Alpi, Vechule, we saw Rebbe Elazar in the Mishnah that said, even if there are no witnesses appearing on the get, since the get is given to the woman in the presence of witnesses, it is kosher. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Shitois Shainois, different opinions, Im Lifsok Rebbe Elazar Begitin, Ede Mesira Karsi, Alo. Shall we rule like Rebbe Elazar, that we rely on witnesses that see the presentation of the get from husband to wife, or maybe not? The Gemara will go beyond the realm of divorce documents and introduce other documents as well that have signatures on them, or I should say lack signatures on them. Are they going to be effective documents because you have witnesses that see the delivery of the document? The Gemara. Amar Yehuda Marav, Halacha Rebbe Elazar Begitin. We will rule like Rebbe Elazar, that you rely on the witnesses that see the delivery of the get within the realm of Gittin, but not with regard to other documents. Rashi, four lines from the end of the narrow lines, Valokha Rebbe Elazar Begitin, the Ede Mesira Karsi, that the witnesses that see the Mesira, the handing over, are the ones that make it. Karsi literally means make it into a get. Karsi, Loshin Krisis, they make the break, the break in the couple's marriage. This type of delivery of get of the get is so acceptable, there isn't even a rabbinic qualification on it. Avon lo bishtoros. This idea of Ede Mesira, clinching the deal, so to speak, is not true with regard to other documents. Dichtiv bohen, regarding other documents, the pasuk says v'chasuv v'sefer v'chasom in Yirmiyah, in the book of Yirmiyah. There you can see the insistence upon signatories found in the document itself, dealing with other documents, documents of sale, of acquisition. Rav Yehuda, who just quoted Rav, goes on to say, Ki amriso kamei de Shmuel, when I said this to Shmuel, Omar af bishtoros. Shmuel disagrees with Rav and adds, ruling like Rebbe Elazar that Ede Mesira Karsi, even with regard to other documents. In other words, a sale of property via a shtar, a deed, a document, even if there are no witnesses that signed it, but witnesses saw the handing of it from the seller to the buyer, that would be effective. It would be an effective deal. V'Rav Sovar Bishtoros Lo. Rav, does he really hold that with regard to other documents, Ede Mesira are not effective? Hakotani, but it says in our Mishnah, V'goyva minechosem mishu'abodim. Collection can be made from properties that were purchased after their marriage. Now, Rashi adds a level of explanation that we did not share yet. Looking at Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara text, Goyva minechosem mishu'abodim, im shtar hu oy get ze geifek suba minachosim shubadim. When we learned the Mishnah, we used this example of the woman and her collecting a ksuba. But beyond that, let us say you had a loan that was recorded in a document, so that a borrower who currently owns land borrows money, gives a document to the lender, and witnesses saw the lender receive that document. In the event that the borrower doesn't pay cash, that lender can turn to purchasers who purchased from the borrower subsequent to their loan and collect. So what do we see from that? We see that a document, even if it doesn't have witnesses that signed it, but witnesses that saw it handed over from the borrower to the lender, it's an effective document. So we're asking, how can Rav say that we don't rule like Reb Elazar with regard to other documents other than Gittin, when the Mishnah itself indicates otherwise, that other documents are considered effective and binding even without witnesses having signed in them, as long as you have witnesses that saw the transfer? The Gemara continues, Reb Elazar, Tarti, Omar. Reb Elazar, in fact, ruled that Eide Mesira Karsi, both in Gittin and other documents. V'Rav Sover Kavosei B'chadu Polo Golei B'chadu. Rav rules like him with regard to Gittin, but does not accept his ruling, Reb Elazar's ruling, with regard to other shtoros. V'chein Om Rav Yankiv Baridi Om Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Halachik Reb Elazar B'gittin. Rav Yankiv also rules like Rav. Rav Yanai Om Rafilu Reach Haget Ein Bo. Rav Yanai goes to another extreme and says that a get that doesn't have witnesses that signed in it doesn't even have the aroma of a get. That's a literal translation. That's not worth very much, but the concept of Reach HaGet has legal bearing with regard to a woman that received an ineffective get, but it was effective enough to create the label of divorcee upon that woman so that she could now not marry a Kohen. A Kohen is prohibited in marrying a divorced woman. Reach HaGet is a get where the divorce really was not effective, but the woman, upon receiving that type of get, cannot marry the Kunis. So what Rav Yanai is saying is that a get without the signatories on it, merely people, witnesses that saw the delivery of it, is a zero. It doesn't create even Reach HaGet. She won't be rendered unfit to the kahuna. The Gemara asks, Rav Yanai less lay to Reb Elazar. You're going to see a couple of questions where we ask regarding different Amoroyim, do they not hold like Reb Elazar? So we have, right now, it seems that Rav Yanai doesn't hold like Reb Elazar. Could that be? The Gemara says back, Hochi Chomar. What Rav Yanai was saying is, L'Rabbonon afilu Reach HaGet ein bo. According to the Rabbonon that disagree with Reb Elazar, the Rabbonon that don't rely on Eide Mesira, a get that was given and based upon only Eide Mesira, according to the Rabbonon who disagree with Reb Elazar, it's a zero. It doesn't have, that get doesn't have even Reach HaGet. V'chein Rav Asi Rabbi Chanina Amrei Shlokish Halacha K'Reb Elazar B'Gittin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Reach HaGet Ein Bo. And here you have a repeat scenario. You have Rabbi Yochanan saying that it doesn't have even Reach HaGet. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is coming on the heels of a ruling like those that ruled like Reb Elazar, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, if a get is given in the presence of witnesses of Eide Mesira alone, It doesn't have even Reach HaGet. So we ask, Lemo Rabbi Yochanan, less like Rabbi Lozer? Should we say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't rule like Rabbi Lozer? Hachi Komaren, the same type of answer. The Rabbonon, Afilu Reach HaGet, Ein Bo. All Rabbi Yochanan was saying that it is, according to the Rabbonon that disagree with Rabbi Lozer, Eidei Mesira, if that's all you have by way of witnessing, it doesn't, it's ineffective, it's totally ineffective. Sholach le Rabbi Abba bar Zavda lemori bomor. Boi mi name Rav Huna. Would you go ask of Rav Huna, halachik Rav Lozer begitin o ein halacha? So Rabbi Abba sent Mori on this mission to ask, do we paskin like Rav Lozer in Gittin or not? Adahochi noch nafsheid Rav Huna. The question Rav Mori was asked to, was requested to ask of Rav Huna, but in the meantime, Rav Huna passed away. Omale Rabo Bray. Rabo, the son of Rav Huna, said, Hochi Omar Abo Mishmei de Rav. Thusly said father, namely Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, Haloch Rabbi Lozer Begitin. We rule like Rabbi Lozer that Eide Mesira Karsi with regard to divorce documents. Rabbi Seinu Abkian Bedvar Halacha Mishum Rabbeinu Amru, the rabbis who are expert in ruling and legal ruling, said in the name of Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Lozer Begitin, the same ruling. The Amar of Chama Bar Guryab Amar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Lozer Begitin. Ika the Amri. Now here there's a different version by way of how to present the names. A moment ago, we saw a reference to Rabbi Seinu, our rabbis who are expert in halacha. Iko di Amri, a second version is V'chaveirenu habekiyin bedvar halacha V'talmidei rabbeinu mishum rabbeinu amru halacha K'Rabbi Lozer begitin. The Yomar Rav Chista, and here you can see we dashed underline Rav Chista in contrast to Rav Chama Bar Guria above. Here you have Rav Chista quoting Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Lozer Begitin. The Gemara continues with another name, V'chein ki also Ravin Omar Rav Lozer. Omar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Lozer Begitin. The Mishnah. Shnayim Shesholchu Shnei Gitin Shovin. Two men sent two divorce documents. Their names of the names of the two men are the same. Their wives have the same name. Vinisarvu and the Gittin got mixed up. No same Shneim Lazu, Ushneim Lazu. The two are given to woman number one, and the two Gittin are given to woman number two. So this way we know for sure that she received her get from her husband. Lefikoch Avad Echod Mehen, Areya Sheni Botel. Therefore, if after these Gittin got mixed up, one got lost, the second get has no value. Chamisha Shekosfu Klal Besoch HaGet. The term Klal is going to be explained later by the Gemara. The Mishnah gives an example, but there's further discussion in the Gemara about what this is. So we continue in the meantime with the Mishnah. Ish ploni megarish plonis uploni plonis. So you have a, say, several divorces are being recorded in one document. Vo'edim milamato, and witnesses sign at the bottom. Kulon ksherin. All of the divorces recorded in this document are kosher, v'nosein l'chol achas v'achas. And each woman who is referred to in this list of couples that are getting divorced will receive this document. So this document is given to each one of the women listed there as being divorced by their husbands, and that is sufficient. In other words, the witnesses that signed at the bottom are in effect signing on to signing regarding all of the divorces recorded. Hoyokaisev toifes l'chol echad ve'echad vo'edim milamata. The term toifes, as Rashi says, will be explained in the Gemara. But we can say, without giving examples, there's some element of this kind of, say, a multiple divorce recording that isolates each couple from one another, so that you have witnesses that signed at the bottom, as the Mishnah says, "Vo'edim milamata." As Shu'edim Nikrin Imoi Kosher, the last couple that's recorded in this kind of get, they are the couple that have witnesses that testified or that signed on to their divorce. The last couple mentioned. But all the couples above, since it was written in this, we'll call it the toface form, whereas we said there's something that separates the couples from one another. Maybe separates is a poorly intended pun, or an unintended pun, but nevertheless, a gap or an element that breaks, that serves to break the continuity of the recording of the couples, results in only the last couple recorded as having the witnesses relevant to them, and hence only they would be considered divorced. The Mishnah at the beginning spoke about two identical looking, getting looking in terms of the names that were written by real people intending with the intention of each couple divorcing their wives respectively, got mixed up, and the resolution of that problem is giving the two to one woman and the two to the other woman. Man Tana, who is the author of that idea? Omer Reb Yirmiya, Delo K'Reb Elozer. It's not like Reb Elozer that we featured in the previous sugya. The Reb Elozer, if it were to thought to be according to Reb Elozer, came in the Omar, since he said, Eide Masira Karsi, the witnesses that witness the delivery are the ones that make the get into an effective get. Well, in a case that the documents got mixed up and you're giving two of them to one woman, Holo Yadi Behemina Komigrisha, these witnesses don't know which one of them is actually responsible for her being divorced. Let us take a look at Rashi. Ha lo yadi, Eide, Rashi looking at his second line from the bottom. Ha lo yadi, Eide Mesir Behemina Migrisha, the Ein Zunasina Lishma Mivureris. You don't have a giving. The Pasuk says, V'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyada. You don't have an esino lishmo. You don't have a clear giving or specified, unique, specified giving of the document to the specific woman from her specific husband. For Belozer keva de chasimo lishmo lo boy. And the thinking is that Rebbe Elozer, who doesn't require the signing of the get to be done with specific intention, al kochach lishma dechtiv b'kra akosav v'nosan koi. Therefore, the reference to lishma meaning with specific proper intention that is recorded in the Torah, must be a reference then to the initial writing of the document and the giving of the document. Once again, because Rabbi Elazar doesn't interpret the Kosav law as a reference to the signing of the document. So where is there going to be a manifestation of the Lishma requirement? Lishma, by the way, is alluded to by the Torah by the word law. It says, once again, the Kosav law, Sefer Krisus. So where do you have a manifestation of that requirement of Lishma, of a specific intention? Therefore, it can't be our Mishnah, which has the solution with the mixed up get situation of giving two of them, the two to one woman, that cannot be in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. That's this first opinion. We continue in the Gemara. Abaye Omar Afilu Tema Rebbe Elazar. This Mishnah could be in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. Amo the boy Rebbe Elazar ksiva lishma. We know that Rebbe Elazar requires lishma. Obviously, the Torah insists on lishma, but that's only with regard to the initial writing of the document. That when the document is being written up, it has to be written with the intention of the specific couple that's going to be using it. Nesina lishma mi boy. Does he require the giving of it also with that specific intention? Truth is that the Pasuk says v'kosav law sefer krisus. The word law is attached to the word v'kosav. Only later does it say v'nosan biyodo, then you give it to her. So Abaye feels justified in his position that Rebbe Elazar, the Tana Rebbe Elazar's requirement of lishma is limited to the ksiva. As far as the handing of it, that can be done even without this specific awareness element. Hence, the Mishnah, as far as Abaye is concerned, can be in accordance with the Elazar as well, that holds 8a Mesira Karsi. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.